Appreciate the opportunity to stand before you again tonight. Like Barry said, we will be continuing the study over the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. And tonight we're actually going to finish up that study. We're going to finish up 2nd Peter and we'll do the chapter 3, the entire chapter. I appreciate the prayers on my behalf. And it's also my prayer that the things we study here tonight will be useful and beneficial to you through your lives. I know when me and Shannon were studying this at home that it has really helped us a lot to look at it in a way that we've never looked at before. So hopefully the things that we study will help you look at things in maybe a way you've never looked at it before. So what we're going to do with the study is we're going to read the entire chapter of 2 Peter 3, and then we'll go back and go to each individual sections, and I've got the verses broken down, and we'll see what they mean a little bit deeper. So let's go ahead and read if you have your Bibles with you. I also have the verses on the board behind me. We'll look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly or ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the element shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also with the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So here is how Peter finishes up his second epistle. So we'll go ahead and jump back to the first part of the chapter. We'll read verse 1 and 2 again. Beginning in verse 1, it says, The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles and of the Lord and Savior. So Peter is he's writing this to the churches of Asia, and he is specifically telling them the reason that he wrote the first and second books of Peter. And the reason for that was to stir up their memory, so that they remember the things that they have learned from the prophets of the old time, and they also remember the things that they have learned from the apostles of the New Testament. Which, if we think about it now, they have the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. Well, now we have all the letters collectively written. If we think about all the letters from Paul and the letters from Peter and the ones from John, we take all those together, and if we look down to it, all of them are to stir up our memory of what Christ has done for us, his fulfillments of the prophecies, and they all teach us a few different things. The first thing they teach us is how we can have relationships with one another as Christians. They teach us how to act godly towards one another, how to lift each other up. They also teach us the relationship that we are to have with people who are not Christians like us. They teach us how we are to treat the alien sinner and how we can try to do our best to help bring them in so they won't be an alien sinner anymore. And they also all teach us how to have a good relationship with God and our Father in heaven. So this is really what the first two verses are talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3. So we'll go down and read verse 3 through 7 now. And that says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So Peter is telling these churches of Asia, and Peter wrote this just about 30 years after Christ's death, but Peter is telling him here, during the last days there's going to be scoffers. There's going to be people that do not believe the end of time is coming. They don't believe that God is going to destroy the world with fire. They just won't believe it. And basically what they're going to say is what he has said, well, since the fathers fell asleep, all things have gone on since the beginning of the creation. So since nothing has significantly changed for them, if they haven't seen it yet, then they don't believe it's going to happen. Basically, it comes down to these scoffers, these people who are willingly ignorant of this, they're not having patience. Let's look over in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in 18. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it." It's talking about in the book of Isaiah these people not having patience. And most people, all of us in general, we all do not have patience. When we think about God's plans or we think about anything at all, we want instant gratification. We want things and we want it done now. Well, that's what it's talking about in Isaiah, and it's also what it's talking about in 2 Peter. That these people, these scoffers who don't believe the end of time is coming, since it hasn't happened yet, well, it must not be happening. But it says in Isaiah, "Woe unto them that do this." Because we are assured that the end of time is going to come. And it also talks about these people who are willingly ignorant. Let's look over in John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. John chapter 3 and verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So when Peter's talking about those people who are willingly ignorant, those scoffers in the last day, why would someone want to be willingly ignorant of the end of time? Why would someone not want to think about it? Well, it's talking about here in John, that if they think about the end of time coming and they think that God is going to send this fiery destruction to the world and it's going to be an everlasting destruction, then it's going to reprove their evil deeds. Well, they don't want to stop their evil deeds. They're happy with what they're doing. They enjoy these evil deeds. Now, if they think about the end of time coming, then that brings shame to them, and that brings, basically, they're going to be scared. So for them, they would just rather not think about it. They'd rather be willingly ignorant of this. Peter also compares this end of time to the flood. And that is the flood that we have of Noah and the ark. It talks about the world being in the water and surrounded by water. When we think about how the world was created, there was a barrier of water that went all the way around the world. And that's what it's talking about then. And then it also goes on to say that the world was destroyed by water, which we know of. That's the story about Noah and the ark. So Peter compares it to the flood, and Jesus also talks about the flood in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the last days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus is foretelling his returning. This will be after he has passed away and he's resurrected, which he's already done. And when he returns, this is going to be similar to how it was when the flood came. There are many people who are scoffers, who are willingly ignorant. They're just going to be carrying on with their lives, doing exactly what they want to do, not worrying about the end of time, just as it were in the days of Noah. It says that there are people eating and drinking and marrying. They could care less that a so-called flood was coming when they had never even seen it rain. Well, for us, now, we've seen it rain. We've actually seen it flood. Not like this kind of flood, but one thing that we haven't seen is this flaming fire of vengeance that it talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3. So since people haven't seen it before, and it's been 2,000 years since Christ's death, they'll think, well, it's never happened before, it's probably not going to happen. And it's been 2,000 years since Christ died and supposedly was going to come back, and he hasn't come back yet, so it's probably not going to happen. Well, that was the same thing going on in the days of Noah. They'd never seen a flood, and they never knew what rain was. But it says that they were living their life regularly until that last day, and then the flood came and it took them away. And if you read the story about how the flood came, it came with like a vengeance. It was very quickly how it swept them all away. It wasn't just a nice, slow, soft rain. It came very, very quickly. Likewise, that's how it's going to be in the last day when God destroys the world. So if we continue on in 2 Peter chapter 3, read a couple more verses here. Beginning in verse 8, says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." The thing that we really need to understand for this passage is that time is of no concern to God. Time means nothing to him. Like when it talks about these people were saying that it has continued on since the creation and nothing has changed, so it's probably not going to happen. Well, they're looking at it through man's eyes. And it's really easy to do that. If we look at our lives, how we live now, everything that we do revolves around time in some way or another. It's time to get up. It's time to eat. It's time to go to bed. It's time to go to work. There's times for everything. Everything revolves around time. Well, with God, time revolves around him. It doesn't matter what we think of time because God doesn't care about time. So that's what he's saying when he's talking about one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So if we think about it, as Christ died for us 2,000 years ago, but if you look at it through God's eyes, and I know this is talking about it figuratively, just to show that time does not mean anything, but even if it was talking about it literally, that 1,000 years is like one day with God, that would mean Christ died 2 days ago. 2 days ago was nothing. But if we think about it 2 days ago coming in the future, we don't have much time. So if we look at it in that aspect, time does not mean anything to God. And we also have in this passage a reassurance of the end of the world to come. It says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. If we look over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, we have another example of this. 1 Kings chapter 8, and we'll read verse 56. "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant." Talks about here in 1 Kings that not one word of God's promises that he made to Moses failed. Likewise, not one word of his promise that he has made to us is going to fail. So we have this assurance. If God tells us that the end of the world is going to be this horrible, fiery destruction, we know it's going to be a horrible, fiery destruction. And we should not want any part of that. And it talks about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 through 9. in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." It talks here about a flaming fire of vengeance. This is talking about the end of the world to come, and this is a promise that we have from God. And we know if we take these words, flaming fire of vengeance, that not one of these words is going to fail. And one thing that we need to point out here is if we compare this to what happened during the flood, well, it flooded and it destroyed the whole earth, but God had a plan to replenish that with Noah. We can look here in verse 9, it says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction?" This flaming fire of vengeance that's going to come on the world at the end of time is going to be everlasting. It will not end. And if you're not in Christ, then there is no way for you to get away from it. And we also have read back in 2 Peter that it's going to come like a thief in the night. If you think about your house and you think about a thief coming into your house, most of the time it's coming as a thief in the night. And that's why they use this phrase, a thief in the night. But the main thing to point it out, you don't know when it's coming. If you knew when it was coming, you'd be watchful, you'd be ready. But we don't know, and Jesus doesn't even know when his returning is going to be. Only God knows that. So it's going to come like a thief in the night. And it could come before even in this service tonight. We really have no idea. When it comes, it's going to be quick, and it's going to be mighty and powerful. If we continue on in 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll go and read the next couple of verses. So, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." What Peter is continuing on here is after he reassures these people that these scoffers, the willingly ignorant, are wrong, and he reassures them that there will be a flaming fire of vengeance on that last day, And Jesus is going to come back. And since we know these things, we know that we have these promises that God will come and that not one word of this promise is going to fail. How do we need to live? What do we need to do? That's the question Peter's asking them. Let's look over in the book of 2 Corinthians 7. The book of 2 Corinthians 7, we'll just read the first verse. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So what Paul is also teaching them here is since we have these promises and we know what's going to happen, we know that the end of time is coming and it could come tonight just as well as any other night, we need to live, we need to first cleanse ourselves from sin. You must cleanse yourself from sin and break down that wall between you and God. After you cleanse yourself from sin and you're baptized into Christ and wash away that sin, you must also perfect holiness in the fear of God, which means complete holiness. Which means after you have cleansed your sins and you have been baptized into Christ, you must walk holy and diligent for the rest of your days. And you also must do this consistently. This can't be a one-time thing or just a every now and then thing. You must be doing this consistently. Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Paul is writing to the Philippians here, and he's telling them that it doesn't matter who's around you, it doesn't matter who you think's watching, it doesn't matter if you're in church or if you're out in the world, that you are always standing fast in one spirit, and you're striving for the gospel. So you must be doing this consistently. After you've cleansed yourself from your sin, and you're living a holy life, you must do this consistently, regardless of who you think's watching, because God is always watching you. It continues on in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. It says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you. as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. It tells us here in 2 Peter that we should be watching for our Savior. We're looking for the new heavens and the new earth that were promised. As Christians, we are promised that God has prepared for us a home. He is going to come down and destroy the world that we live in right now. Everything around us is going to be completely destroyed with fire, and it's going to be everlasting. That fire won't burn out. But as Christians, if you have taken that step to cleanse yourself and you are continuing to live holy, He has made you a new heaven. So this is what Peter is telling us that we are looking for. We're looking for our Savior Jesus to come down and take us to that new home that He's promised us, so we don't have to face that fiery destruction here on earth. And it also tells us in verse 14 that we do this diligently. Now if we look at the book of Luke chapter 12, read verse 37. Luke chapter 12, verse 37 says, "Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." It says here that Jesus is going to bless us if he finds us watching diligently for him. And when it talks about watching for him, it talks about being prepared. Anything you're watching for something, if we're watching for a thief in the night to come break into our house, that means we're prepared for him. So if we're watching for Jesus to return as a thief in the night, that means we're prepared for him to return. And if he finds us prepared, if he finds us cleansed of our sins and living holy, then he's going to take us home with him. And we don't have to go through that fiery destruction. It also talks about in verse 16, where it talks about rest, says, "which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." This word rest means to pervert the gospel. That comes from the Strong's Concordance, and where it talks about the unlearned, that is talking about those that are willingly ignorant that we read about in verse 5. Those that they don't want to know the truth. So since they don't want to know the real truth, they have to change or to pervert the gospel that they know so that it fits with their lifestyle, so that they don't have to change their evil deeds. And one thing that they do try to rest or that they try to change, it is where it also talks about in 2 Peter about God's long-suffering. Now, many people today will take this where it says, well, God is long-suffering. And they say that that means that, well, God loves everybody. And since he loves everybody, well, he's not going to destroy anybody. As his children, I mean, he made us all, so we're all his children. So God will not destroy anybody because he loves us. Well, they've got a couple parts right. God is long-suffering, and God does love us. But it also says that not everybody will be saved. As it talks about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If Jesus says not everyone is going to enter into heaven, that means somebody or some people are going to be here when that flaming fire of vengeance comes down. And it may be some people in here tonight if you haven't obeyed the gospel. Jesus warns us of that, that you must do the will of the Father which is in heaven in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is where it's talking about those who are willingly ignorant, perverting the scripture and changing the scripture. They change that to say that since God loves everybody, the end of time is not going to happen. God is not going to destroy the world as he promised, and he's going to take us all to heaven since he loves us. But we, of course, know that that is not true. Continue on a little bit further in 2 Peter. We'll finish up the chapter here. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." First thing he says here in verse 17, says, "Beware lest ye fall." And remember, he is writing this to the churches of Asia, and he's talking about, if we look back in the chapter, he's talking about the scoffers, the willingly ignorant, those who are trying to deceive, those who change the scriptures to say God loves everybody and will save everybody. He tells them to beware. Don't let the error of these people help make you lose your salvation. So it says, beware lest ye fall. If you look over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So in the book of Colossians, it's telling us the same thing. Watch out for these false prophets, is what he's saying. Watch out for these people who are trying to deceive you and spoil you of what you have earned. But instead, in 2 Peter, it tells us to instead grow in grace, and which means to grow in Jesus. If you are preparing yourself for Jesus returning to you or growing in Him, it's going to be much harder for those people to spoil you of what you have. If we look over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 17, it talks about putting on the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we are arming ourselves with what we have from the book of Ephesians, if we take these spiritual armor and apply them to our lives, it's going to be much easier for us to grow in Jesus instead of falling away with those who are wicked. So looking back over this chapter, Peter has first stirred up our memories, and looking back over the first and second books of Peter, he has stirred up our memories tonight and has assured us that God will never fail on His promises. And that includes His plan to destroy the world. And that is going to come as a thief in the night. And it could happen tonight just as well as any other night. We have no idea. But it is going to come, that one thing we know. This means that there is going to be extremely horrible news for those who are not in Christ and have not been baptized into Christ and are currently following Him today. If you are not following Christ today, this bad news applies to you. That everlasting destruction of fire that is to come down is going to be an everlasting destruction of fire against you. We have to realize that. We also have learned tonight that God's long suffering is extended to everyone without exclusions. But remember that that long suffering does not mean that everyone is going to be saved. That just means everyone has the opportunity to be saved. If you're not in Christ, you have that opportunity to be saved tonight, become in Christ, so you can avoid that fiery destruction. God gave us a way to avoid this flaming fire. All we have to do is accept it. Just do His will. Be a servant that He has created you to be. In Mark 16, verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus taught that the only way to avoid this flaming fire of destruction is to believe on Him and to be baptized and wash your sins clean with His blood. If you have not done that, then just remember that the flaming fire of vengeance is going to be against you unless you take care of that tonight. If you need to take care of that tonight, we can help you with that. Or if you have been fallen away from the wicked and they have been started to follow you away, then we can help you with that too. We can help bring you back in so you can more grow in grace and help armor you with the spiritual armor that we have. Let Jesus save you tonight before the world is destroyed. Come forward while we stand and sing this song.